call to mind, therefore have I hope. It is because of your compassions we fail not. It is because of your mercies we're not consumed. Our grace contract is renewed by you each morning, and great is thy faithfulness. And Heavenly Father, we gather here together today. We're beneficiaries of your amazing grace, a grace that provides for us all of our needs on a daily basis, that for both life and godliness. We now pause to commemorate this grace through giving. We do so in the name of our great high priest and only Savior, namely Jesus Christ, Lord of the armies. Amen. Eye has not seen, nor has ear heard, neither has there entered into the minds of men the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. For He who spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him freely give us all things? He has done exceedingly abundantly beyond all we could ever ask or think, for we have the mind of Christ. And in the mind of Christ this morning, we will note some passages. Hebrews 5:13 will be the first. As we continue our study of the dark side of morality, it is our custom to pause before our Bible classes so that you might utilize the privacy of your priesthood for a rebound if necessary, and to make whatever mental attitude adjustments are required for the concentration upon our study this morning. And with these things in mind, shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we are grateful to You for Your continuing grace to us. We are grateful for a system that enables us, we are fugitives in the devil's world, to acquire from Your thinking those concepts that can guide us in our daily lives. We are privileged as a result. No one else has this opportunity. No one else even has the assets to appropriate such thought, yet we do, through faith alone in Christ alone. It is our duty, therefore, to take advantage of these things, to accumulate Your thoughts, and thus make application of them in our daily lives, so that our invisible historical impact might have emphasis with regard to our Lord's control of history, especially at this period of historical downturn in our client nation. Motivate us to stand in the gap, and may today be one more increment in our ability to add to this concept. And we lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. We have been studying the dark side of morality, and we're in the third paragraph, the two academies, and this has been the subject of the midweek Bible classes. We stressed this on Thursday evening. I would note to you that the two academies are those that are the academy. One is directed by Lucifer himself and his false teachers. The other is directed by the Holy Spirit and those who are empowered by Him. Now, we have initiated the word didactics, which is very important to define. It is an English word, and it means systematic instruction or the science or the art of teaching. So whenever you enter a classroom, pretend you're in a college classroom or a high school classroom. The teacher is there, and he is called the teacher or the professor, and it is assumed by those who enter the classroom that he knows something they don't, and they're willing to sit there and give him a listen. And as they concentrate, they accumulate information that they need to pass that course. Now, it is assumed also that the students have the capacity to learn. For example, if you were me and you entered a physics classroom, you would be in the wrong place. You would not have the capacity to learn that. So it would only be a few days before the professor would come and say, I believe it would be good if you maybe thought about basket weaving. And then I would leave with my head down, but knowing that he was right. Now, in the assembly that we have here today, didactics can work because of the system that has been appropriated by Jesus Christ, God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ took advantage of this system. It was inaugurated in the Incarnation, and He utilized it in His true humanity and bequeathed it to us in the church age. Now, what gives us the capacity to learn infinite thought is the fact that we have a supernatural teacher, the Holy Spirit, and He is, of course, assigned to us to teach us all things. Therefore, we have these two academies. The Divine Academy of Grace Didactics finds the Holy Spirit prepared to teach us all things according to John 14:26. He is the instructor. His textbook is the Bible. The curriculum is the 11 categories of systematic theology. And the cadets to whom He is willing to communicate are those who are filled with His power and thus capable of assimilating infinite thoughts from God. And graduates are proficient in executing then the sophisticated spiritual life as good soldiers for Christ. There is another system, however. It is available to those who enroll and matriculate in the Satanic Academy of Cosmic Didactics. It is staffed in its faculty by false teachers. The textbooks they use really are any source available to them, including the Bible. The curriculum includes the doctrines of demons, various categories of cosmic thought, and there are laboratory exercises based on either arrogance or antagonism. And on Thursday, we took up the School of Arrogance in the Satanic Academy, which is a study in Satanology that has to do with one's relationship towards self and others. And in that study, we discussed briefly legalism, morality, crusades, and Christian service. Now, these are courses that might be taken in the School of Arrogance. Not exhaustive, but it was designed to illustrate and to have you understand a bit about that. Then we embarked upon the School of Antagonism in the Satanic Academy, which teaches several courses in Satanology that have to do with one's relationship toward the plan of God. We took up three courses that you might enroll in there, and I'll review them briefly. Antagonism toward God. This is where the unbeliever gives mental assent to demon influence and even demon possession. It is also where the reversionistic believer gives mental assent to demon influence. And this category of thought results in hostility toward God, hostility toward Jesus Christ, the Bible, churches, Christians, and divine viewpoint in general. And you can see this category, you can see students functioning in a laboratory exercise in our nation today as they express venom toward the Christian community, and they have little titles that they assign to us. The radical Christian right, the fundamentalist cult-like radicals. All of these kinds of words and phrases come out of their mouths, just describing those who believe that the Bible is true, are regular attendees at churches, and actually believe what the Bible says. However, we're to also understand that those who follow the Islamic faith are very peaceful, nice, fun-loving people that would never lift their hands against a flea. And although they believe fervently everything the Quran says, there doesn't seem to be any fundamentalist problem there. That it makes reference, of course, to only to those who have Islamic faith in the United States of America. Those who are in the Middle East are equated with the radical Christians in this country. So there is this antagonism, and you can see it there, and you are the target, but at least you know who the target is, who the perpetrator is now. The second category we noted that you may study, and many in this congregation have been star pupils in this particular area. It's called anti-establishment. Here, the antagonism is directed toward the four divine institutions. Volition is restricted by laws that micromanage the lives of all who disagree with the approved crusades, something we studied in detail on Tuesday. Marriage, second divine institution, is demeaned by expanding its boundaries to include homosexual couples, or the institution of marriage is ignored by approval and acceptance of adulterous relationships. The third divine institution, the traditional family, is belittled by comparing it sarcastically with Ward and June Cleaver, or the family is degraded to include relationships beyond husbands, wives, and children. The fourth divine institution of nationalism is de-emphasized by global entanglements, or it is undermined by the promotion of multiculturalism and diversity. In each case, the authority structure of the establishment category is discredited as intolerant and replaced with politically correct substitutes. The third course in which you might matriculate is Cosmic Panaceas. This course develops human viewpoint philosophies that promote human good and evil, designed to bring about social unanimity and harmony. We noted that this is definitely a panacea, in the sense that you can't get along with the people in your own household and your believers with doctrine. Now admit to it. And certainly when you go to family reunions, this is not necessarily a hotbed of harmony. We can't even get along in certain sections of town can't get along with each other. Then there's the state problem. There are states, people in states in this country that would not enter another state. For I would be an example there. I would not enter the state of New York. I would not enter Massachusetts. Why would I go there? You see, this is a hostility that I have. And this, I'd use it as an illustration, of course. And then, therefore, there are nations that are become very waxed against each other, and we have that going on right now. And all of a sudden, everyone is supposed to get together, hold hands, and sing Amazing Grace. It's just not going to happen, and the idea that it would is a cosmic panacea. And so the satanic program encourages equality without merit, freedom without responsibility, and respect without virtue. Those with divine viewpoint never have a desire to be treated equally, except before the law. Those with divine viewpoint do have a desire to be treated fairly. When treated fairly, a person is recognized and rewarded for his merits, his sense of responsibility, and his virtues. To be considered as equal to those without merit, a sense of responsibility or virtue, is unjust and thus unfair. Now today, the next course in the Satanic Academy's School of Antagonism is degeneracy. This is subpoint 4 of point 7. You'll find it on page 1858 of document 186. Degeneracy. This course leads the pupil down a path of decadence that is expressed either by legalism or antinomianism. The legalist is a micromanager. The legalist is a nitpicker. The legalist is a person that wants everything done precisely the way they want it done. And they have their own ideas about that. And of course, we know how it works in Christianity. We know how it works in religion. It also can work in just general routine run-of-the-mill exercises of the day. And when it comes to the way others behave, there are many, many checklists on what is considered to be proper and genteel behavior. And that would be the legalist. And then there is antinomianism. These are those individuals who don't believe that they should be restrained by any rules and regulations, be they cultural or legal. I'll do what I want to do, and if you don't like it, then you're not diverse and you're not tolerant. That's the idea behind the antinomian. Now, no matter which path is taken, the pupil becomes a useful tool for demonic manipulation. An example is terrorism. In the Arab world, terrorism is driven by a religious zeal that seeks to destroy all opponents of Islam by any means necessary, including murder. And this is all self-justified by a belief system, a very legalistic one that also incorporates antinomianism. Very legalistic regarding Islam, but because Islam is superior to all other systems of thinking, therefore, to bring that about as an accepted concept by all, they become antinomian regarding certain things like murder. And we have someone in this congregation who's told me they repeatedly visit that neck of the woods, and you have to be very careful over there, or you will violate some very legalistic law. They'll chop off a hand or two. And then if you get too uppity, they'll just chop off your head. So this is very, both legalistic and antinomian can work in this particular area. Now the mantra, "There is no law but Allah's," becomes a satanic rationale to disobey all laws that are not beneficial to the Islamic cause. Now, in the United States, and we developed this in principle from our study of the course of crusader lust, in the School of Arrogance. This is an example of degeneracy in this country with regard to terrorism. In the United States, there is a legalistic terrorist organization called the Sierra Club. It takes on a facade of protecting the earth and its furry creatures, but its proponents are not bashful about destroying people's lives in the process. And they do this by law if possible, and by eco-terrorism if necessary. There have been people run out of their jobs, there have been people injured and even killed, and buildings burned because of the rabid crusader arrogance that is found in the Sierra Club and those of its ilk. Another course that you might go and study in is religion. You're well aware of religion, and I'll only mention it briefly here. This is actually a graduate level course in which the cadet is indoctrinated into the various expressions of demon influence in the field of the metaphysical. It includes cults, religions, denominations, ideologies, and humanistic philosophies. And there is a course available to the liking of any cadet. Whatever you want to hear, they've got something to tell you. There is a course you can take in the area of religion. And then finally, there is evil. This is postgraduate work in the Satanic Academy, in which the Satanic Lieutenant is indoctrinated into what we might call the sophisticated cosmic warfare. You're a very sophisticated degenerate. You're a very sophisticated reversionist. You're a very sophisticated unbeliever when you advance in both schools to this level, to where your whole thought pattern is centered on evil function. That is sophisticated cosmic warfare. One of the best examples I've ever seen, he is doctorate level in the field of sophisticated cosmic warfare, a graduate of both schools of the Satanic Academy, and he's a former president, William J. Clinton. There are others who didn't quite make doctorate level, but they were in graduate school. For example, Lyndon Johnson. There are others. But this country has been plagued in the last century by some horrific leaders proving what many of you understood all along, that the system is greater than the people in it. This was true for Rome for quite a long time. They survived almost 1,000 years. And in the empire, the system was greater than many of the people in it. They flourished under the Antonines, but there were some horrible times under Tiberius and Nero and others. But the system was greater than the people in it. Our system is greater than the people in it, those that run it, those that manipulate the whole system. And as long as we still have the basics, we can survive, possibly. But if it continues to be manipulated by evil, then we don't really stand a chance. Destroy the system, and these people who are graduates of the Satanic Academy, they will take us down. And there are problems that are emerging in our society today in reaction to and because of the attack by Hagar's children. We're now being revealed for the awful, nasty underbelly we have. Those who have these cosmic thoughts are showing themselves. They're making comments that are very obviously those that have been taught in the Satanic Academy. And they're obvious to those of you with doctrine, and you, by the way, are among the few who can read this because you understand the Cosmic Academy's curriculum. If you don't, you'll be deluded, and often you will join them. Now, point eight. In the Divine Academy, believers utilize the grace system to advance in the sophisticated spiritual life and become effective witnesses for the prosecution in the appeal trial. And this, of course, is an honor. And the way that you gather this information is in a local church under a pastor teacher teaching doctrine, orthodox doctrine, recognizing systems of hermeneutics and textual criticism. These things are very, very necessary. Going to a church doesn't do it. Many churches are teaching the curricula of the Cosmic Academy. Therefore, you need to be very careful where you go. Now, many of you go visiting relatives from time to time, and they take you to their churches. I don't really think there's anything wrong with that. I go to church when I leave town, too, on occasion. And these are very good exercises going back to days of yore where you can reorient to where you could be, but through the grace of God, you aren't. So it's not bad to do a field trip on occasion, but to go check in and become a member, get to be a deacon, and teach Sunday school, that's not a good idea. In the Divine Academy, then, believers use the grace system to advance in the sophisticated spiritual life. 9, it should be noted that Lucifer had a head start in recruitment into his system of didactics, since all Homo sapiens are born into his satanic academy. We need to check into that. This is an Anacaluthan. I am about to make an announcement. The children have gone berserk. Now we know, and I'm speaking to the parents here, those of you who don't have children, I'm not speaking to you. But children have to use the bathroom. Their bladders are not very big, nor stretched out of shape like mine is. And you parents have to make sure they use the restroom before prep school. We have restrooms here. We have them down this corridor back here. And let them go use the restroom so we don't have to listen to all of this. Now get your eyes cutting away. You see, what would you do if we were under some kind of assault? What if some holy roller stood up and started jabbering in tongues? Could you stay riveted, head forward, and concentrate on what I'm saying while this person's being taken care of by a deacon? I was in Baraka Church one night when some woman got up and began a dissertation on tongues right in the middle of Bible class. And she was sitting about at this angle from the colonel, right along in there. You know, Baraka Church is sort of like a fan. It's built on the concept of a Greek amphitheater. And it was right along through that angle there that this woman stands up. And she begins to give a dissertation on why he is all wrong about tongues. And so he folded his arms and he bent over and he listened to her for a couple of minutes just to see where she was going to go with this. Everybody in that congregation, eyes forward, concentrating on the pulpit or the overhead. And that's the kind of riveted attention I would like to have in this congregation, where a little munchkin, he's only 5 years old, whatever it was that came out of there. You don't need to be distracted by little bitty children. Can you concentrate under pressure in the real exigencies of the day if a 5-year-old can make you turn your head? So the parents need to do the wee-wee thing before prep school starts and before it begins second session. Second announcement. You need to understand that children are going to be children, and I appreciate that, and we want them to love to be here. We want them to like coming to Grace Doctrine Church. So we need to understand they need some control, though. And if you, and we're promoting our prayer meetings, and the ladies meet there and the gentlemen over here, but if the mother goes to the ladies' prayer meeting and the father goes to the gentleman's prayer meeting, the children, the little darlings, go berserk. And they run amok out here, and we can't hear at the prayer meetings. So this is the policy that we've communicated, and I reiterated. You need to alternate prayer meetings. The mother goes one Sunday, and the father rides herd. The father goes the next Sunday, and the mama rides herd. That's the way we can keep order here. So those are my announcements, and we will now return to Bible class. What I was trying to say is that there are two academies, and we're now stressing the Satanic Academy and how it recruits its cadets. It should be noted that Lucifer has a head start in recruitment into his system of didactics, since all Homo sapiens are born into the Satanic Academy. You were born into it. There was a runner on first base, and then he was thrown out at salvation, but before then you were in all day, every day, the Satanic Academy. You were born there. So he has the opportunity to recruit his cadets way before the Holy Spirit has an opportunity to teach his. Therefore, it should be understood there are going to be more people wherever you go, more people in the Cosmic Academy than in the Divine Academy. And the reason for that is that even those who are saved into the Divine Academy don't stay there. So there are very few who actually matriculate in the Divine Academy. Now, point 10. The Scripture distinguishes then between the cadets of these academies. Those who matriculate in the Divine Academy are the subject of Hebrews 5, verses 13 and 14. Now, Hebrews 5, 13 reads this way: "Every believer who is restricted only to milk is inexperienced in the word of righteousness, since he is a babe." Now, this is a plebe in the academy. Every believer who is restricted only to milk is inexperienced in the word of righteousness, since he is a babe or a plebe. When you go to one of the military academies at West Point, you're called a plebe. A plebeian is where that comes from, going back to Rome. And a plebe is like scum, hoi polloi, the canal, know nothing, stupid, but saved. So what can you feed a baby? Milk. Milk is it, or food that's all crushed up that looks like milk. Verse 14, but solid food, that's advanced doctrine, belongs to the mature, that's the upperclassmen, who because of practice, that's the development of the three spiritual skills, have their perceptive senses well trained to discern between human good and evil. Perceptive senses well trained. And you see, only the upperclassmen, only the person who's matriculated for a while, has the proficiency to identify the bloviations of the Satanic Academy. He can't distinguish between human good and evil. He can't distinguish between divine good and human good, divine viewpoint and human viewpoint. He is deluded by the propaganda of the other faculty's graduates. And therefore, only those who have doctrine are able to distinguish the difference between these thought systems. Delusion is the issue and the tool and the objective of the day with regard to the students, the cadets, in the Satanic Academy. They delude you by wrapping their lie in 95% truth quite often. And of course, they always speak of peace, love, and brotherhood, and none of them are involved in that. The people that speak of peace, there is no peace. Brotherhood, they'll cut your throat if you don't agree with them. Harmony, there is no harmony. Go off for the weekend. If you think this is not true, go off for the weekend with these people. Get a cabin somewhere and house yourself up with them for an entire weekend and then report back. 11. The characteristics of cadets enrolled in the Satanic Academy are described in many verses of Scripture. I'll give you just a few. Matthew 6:23. If your eye is evil, the entire body is full of darkness, meaning cosmic thinking. If you have the thought pattern that is developed under the cosmic faculty, then there is darkness throughout your entire body. The eye is evil, so is the entire body. Matthew 5:15-19. Out of the stream of consciousness comes evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders, etc. Where does this come from? Thought process. Everything begins with a thought process. What's yours? Where'd you get it? Who taught it to you? Why do you think it's a good idea? Why haven't you changed it? There's a reason for all of this. Wheel tracks of wickedness. No facilitation of wheel tracks of righteousness. Attacks by the lust patterns. Doing things you really want to do rather than adjusting and orienting to God's mandates. Knowing that He will bless you if you follow His system. Knowing you will crash and burn if you don't. But you're going to go right on and do it. I know what I need to do, but I just don't do it, said Paul. And this is the Lord here. If you got a Bible, that's red ink. One of those red ink Bibles. Out of the stream of consciousness comes evil thoughts. And then beyond the evil thoughts come some overt things here. Where do the evil thoughts take you? To overt action. Murder. Adulteries. Fornications. Thefts. False witness. Slanders. Now we're getting personal, slanders. Isaiah 13:11. I will punish the world for its evil and the wicked for their iniquity. I will also put an end to the arrogance of the proud and abase the haughtiness of the ruthless. Sort of rolls off the tongue, doesn't it? How can anything so crass sound so articulate? I will also put an end to the arrogance of the proud and abase the haughtiness of the ruthless. The emphasis there is put an end to and abase. Now 2 Timothy 3 verses 1 through 5. Some of you may find yourselves here. 2 Timothy 3 verse 1. Now you must know this doctrine, that in the last days, and by the way, the phrase "the last days" can have several the last days can make reference to the end of the church age. It can make reference to the end of the tribulation. It can make reference to a period of destruction in a client nation that is suffering the five cycles of discipline. It can make reference to the sin and the death for an individual who is in reversionism and is about to be taken out through terminal discipline. So the last days can include a multiplicity of people. And you may find yourself in one of these three. Who knows? Now you must know, though, this doctrine, that in the last days, hard times, that's disaster as the result of rejection of God. This is antagonism toward God. This is reversionistic concepts and thinking. Hard times will be imminent. So the message here is you can go ahead and do what the lust patterns desire to do. You can reject the authority systems over you, such as the imperative moods of Scripture regarding the plan of God. You may do this. You have free will. But you also should know that you're going to play this game out to this certain end. You must know this doctrine, that in the last days hard times will be imminent. Verse 2, for believers, this is a letter to Timothy, who was a pastor with a congregation that needed to be shaped up. And therefore there were believers in his congregation who had run amok. And Paul is talking about them, not the unbeliever. For believers, those who are matriculating in the Satanic Academy, will be lovers of self, lovers of money, that's monetary reversionism, boastful, arrogant, that's majoring in the school of arrogance, slanderers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, wicked, unloving, that means no reciprocal love, motivation toward God, or impersonal love for all mankind. Implacable, that is a result of bitterness. Malicious adversary, there's diabolos, which is translated devil, I think, and if not in this passage, in others. It means an adversary, though, a witness for the defense in the appeal trial of Satan. They've become witnesses for the defense. That's malicious adversary. Without self-control, brutal, haters of good. That's majoring in the school of antagonism. That is opposition and antagonism to divine viewpoint. Resulting in behavior that is treacherous, thoughtless, conceited. They are lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to an external, superficial form of the spiritual life, but having denied its power. You can't have a real spiritual life without the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Word of God. All other systems are simply facades, pretend-to-bes and wannabes, but they're not a orthodox system. But they like to give you the impression that they're religious, nice, sweet people. They are not. They're evil to the core of their souls, and they hate you. Consequently, avoid such persons as these reversionistic believers. You know anybody like this? Point 12. In determining which academy he might enroll, the believer must decide which system of didactics he wants the faculty to utilize. What do you want to know? I can get you the information if you want it. I'll give you the yellow pages or the religious page of the compost on Saturdays. That thing has grown tremendously over the last several years. Where used to, they had a little box of churches about like that. It takes pages to get them all in now. And what I would suggest you do is go out on the back porch and hold the newspaper up like that, and then allow the wind to blow. And when the wind quits blowing, close your eyes and point. And that, go there. Go there. Virtually everyone in there is going to be information you need in order to become involved. And let's get that term again. I really liked that when I wrote it. Sophisticated cosmic warfare. See, we're to become good soldiers for Christ, aren't we? Those are the graduates of the Divine Academy. But you can become involved in sophisticated cosmic warfare. Soldier for Satan. And a good one. You can be a good one. There are some good ones out there. So you have to determine, what do you want to know? How do you want to act? How do you want to behave? How do you want to be? Where do you want to go? What do you want to become? Do you have a desire to be a partaker of the heavenly inheritance? Do you have a desire for blessings and rewards in time as well as in eternity? Do you have a desire for tranquility of soul? Do you have a desire to get control of your own life? Do you have a desire to have others be blessed by your very existence? You can't do that in the Cosmic Academy. You must choose the faculty, that lone faculty member, the Holy Spirit, and He is the one who is the Chancellor of the Divine Academy. That's where you have to enroll. So the Divine Academy's faculty only uses grace, while the Satanic Academy's uses only cosmic devices such as those mentioned in Colossians 2:8, which we recently studied. Here's the expanded translation. See to it, again talking to believers, see to it that no one takes you prisoner, POW, in the invisible war. See to it that no one takes you prisoner through the agency of philosophical propaganda and deceitful lies, according to the standards of the traditions of men, and according to the standards of the elements of the world, and not according to the standards of Christ. Now, the philosophical propaganda and deceitful lies are techniques that are taught in the Cosmic Academy. The standards of the traditions of men are taught there by its faculty. The standards of the elements of this world are taught by those who are on its faculty. The faculty in the Divine Academy teaches the standards of Christ under the ministry of the Holy Spirit. 13. It is because of the fact that human good and evil are permitted to continue as issues in the invisible war that these two academies function in the church age. We have learned that when Jesus Christ went to the cross, He was judged for our sins. Plus R looked at Jesus Christ when He got there impeccable and approved of Him as a substitute. There was approval. I accept Him as substitute. And since He was accepted, justice therefore was prepared, since He was a substitute, to impute to Him all the personal sins in all of human history. However, He must be a willing substitute. He could not go there against His own will. And so Jesus Christ had to agree to receive the imputation of our sins. And that was motivated by His unconditional love for the entire human race, all of us. And since He said, yes, because I love these people unconditionally, I will receive the imputation of their sins. And then righteousness looks down at this and says, if this occurs, then that is going to meet with my disapproval, the fact that you're identified with the personal sins of the entire world, and that will require judgment. Are you willing to receive the judgment for these sins? And Jesus Christ, because He was here to fulfill the plan of the Father and to do His Father's will, He had personal love for the Father, which motivated for Him to respond, yes, I will even be judged for them. And so justice then, under mandate from righteousness, imputes personal sins, and they were judged in Jesus Christ on the cross. He became our substitute. What was not judged on the cross was this. Over here where you see these people, all of us, the human race, everyone has a sin nature. And the sin nature retroactively, this is retroactive positional truth, is identified with the spiritual death, physical death, and burial of Jesus Christ on the cross. And the old sin nature being identified with the cross, its power is broken at the moment of your salvation. And therefore, it is because all of your sins were judged in Christ. And therefore, the power of the sin nature is broken, since sin is not the issue. But there are other categories. That's the area of weakness for the sin nature. There's an area of strength called human good and evil. These things were not judged in Christ. The production of sin is not judged. Human good and evil remains to be judged in the future. Therefore, we have two academies. And there is an academy that is the Satanic Academy of Cosmic Didactics, teaches human good and evil. There is a Divine Academy of Grace Didactics that teaches grace and the grace plan of God. And all of this is in competition with each other. This concept over here involves divine viewpoint that produces divine good. Therefore, you must become involved in one or the other, because this is what resolves the appeal trial. Who is it that will choose to matriculate under God's system and get rid of this tawdry behavior? Who is it that will matriculate under Lucifer's system and get better at it? Babies are not near as bad as they're going to get. Babies are born with a runner on first, but they really don't get involved in too much human good and evil. That's later on, about age 13. So that unless there is some way to lure them away from this faculty, they're going to get worser and worser and worser. And the worser can be either legalistic or antinomian, but they'll go one way or the other. They're in the academy that will teach them these things. The only way to correct the behavior, the thinking, the lifestyle, the behavior patterns, the only way is to get them in an academy that will teach them differently. And that is the Divine Academy of Grace Didactics. It will alter the way a person thinks if they're positive. And the sad thing about all of what we're going through as a nation today is that the next generation is the one that's going to have to correct the problem. What happens when you mamas and daddies die out there? We're going to die before the children do, unless they have wrecks or something. And what's going to be left 30, 40, 50 years from now? The munchkins will be left running this country. Are they positive to the Word of God? Are they getting their thinking organized by divine viewpoint? That's the question we don't know the answer to. But young people who are involved in the Satanic Academy's concepts of antagonism toward the church, toward Jesus Christ, the Bible, divine viewpoint, these kinds of things now, if that's not corrected, when they enter the rulership areas of the next generation, where's the invisible impact? There won't be any. How are we going to recover if the next generation doesn't pick up the colors and move forward? That is a question that has to be answered later on and will take years to answer. But I'm telling you, the young people, and I'm not putting the onus on anybody in this church, unless it applies, of course. What I'm trying to get you to visualize is when these munchkins grow up, they've been through all the battles of whether I'm going to follow this or not. But once they reach adulthood, they're going to pretty much have their mind made up. Will they be the anchor? Will they be the ones who stand in the gap? Invisibly, just positive volition to doctrine, changing the way they think consistently over a period of time. Will they have the cusp to do it under the tremendous pressures that are emerging in the cauldron of our zeitgeist? I don't know. Point 13. It is because of the fact that human good and evil are permitted to continue as issues in the invisible war that these two academies function in the church age. The issues of human good and evil versus divine viewpoint and divine good have to be resolved. 14. Two principles regarding the church age lead us to a conclusion regarding our discernment of historical trends. Number one, there are no biblical prophecies that are revealed in the church age or that are to be fulfilled in the church age except its terminal event, the rapture. There's no prophecy that is pertinent to our dispensation except the one that ends it. So you can't interpret anything that goes on in the world or in this country or in your life as being a sign that the rapture is about to occur or that Jesus is coming back. That simply doesn't stand up under biblical scrutiny. So, if there is no prophecy, is there a way we can read the future in the church age? We have no prophecy saying these things will occur, blah, blah, blah. So can we understand the zeitgeist in which we presently find ourselves, and from that, plus looking back at developments over X number of years, determine what the future is going to be? Well, none of us are prophets, and we don't know what the future is going to be, but we can build from the Scriptures discernment regarding historical trends and get a pretty good idea of where we're headed. Things don't happen overnight, and opinions are not changed overnight. These are developed over time, and there's a momentum that builds. And to reverse that trend and to bring it back to where it needs to be will take time. That's why the next generation is so important. There are no biblical prophecies that are revealed in the church age or that are to be fulfilled in the church age, except its terminal event, the rapture. And secondly, the two academies will continue their efforts to recruit and educate their cadets until the rapture occurs, with each experiencing periods of success and failure. Each academy will experience periods of success and failure. Let's take the time of the Reformation. I'm telling you, the Cosmic Academy was up and running and everybody was in that school. How about the Divine Academy? Man, that was sparse. And then Lucifer got upset with indulgences. He got upset with the fact that there was a papacy that dictated policy and could come up with stuff out of thin air. The Bible is the guidebook for all believers, he said. It is the Scriptures that dictate policy, not Rome. These kinds of things Lucifer got upset about. There were 95 things. They went down to the All Saints Church and nailed it to the door because they had debates there, theological debates every week. And you could post on the bulletin board there what you wanted to debate about. He had something that was going to keep him there for a while, 95 of these things. And then Calvin got involved, and Zwingli and several others, and we have the Protestant Reformation, and then people started enrolling in the Divine Academy. And that created a momentum, and there was a historical trend, therefore, that happened in the early 1500s when Luther pulled this off. And that momentum carried over to England, who then absorbed this after much debate and became a client nation to God. And from that, once the dickering continued as to whether the Anglican Church is going to rule, it's going to be the Catholic Church, we're going to get to wear our robes or not, all of these kinds of things went on. And so as a result of that, some rules came down and a few said, we ain't doing this, we're going to go to this new world. And they came here. And much of the motivation for coming here was to get away from the Church of England. And that is why there's a free expression clause in the First Amendment. That's why there's a freedom of religion clause in the First Amendment. That's why they said, look, we're not going to let Congress establish any state religion. We want people to come here and be able to exercise their religion however they want to, wherever they want to. And the Congress can't say that one of you guys is the right one and the rest have to pay taxes or whatever. Not going to have that here. And then Tommy went to France and came up, he wrote this letter, and he talked about separation of church and state, and I'll just be danged if the libs didn't find that buried in a personal letter and infuse that into the First Amendment, and it is not there. Not there. Congress can't mess with us with any law establishing any kind of religious activity as a state, nationally sponsored thing. We're free to influence from the doctrine in our souls any aspect of this society according to the First Amendment. Influence, not control, dictate, manage, or what have you. Influence. You ought to be able to freely speak whatever it is you believe regarding the Word of God. Anywhere, anytime. Prayer in the stadium, why not? Well, there's government money involved. Well, what's the problem there? The prayer in the stadium or the government money? Get government money out of all of it. Shut down the public schools if that's the tyranny that's come about. If there's government money involved, then it is human good and evil. And that's a good example of what. I digressed. 15. These periods of success and failure are reflected in the historical trends that occurred during the church age. Success and failure. Uptrends, downtrends. What causes them? The number of people enrolled in the two academies. And it's not an equality thing either, by the way. We have a satanic academy and the divine academy. Two academies. People in the satanic academy always have more cadets. People in the divine academy, these are always fewer than Satan's. Always. Even in uptrends. Even in uptrends. It's only the few that hold a client nation together. Just the few. The heathen run this deal. This is the devil's world. Nevertheless, it is a numbers game. So these periods of success and failure are reflected in the historical trends that occurred during the church age. We do not evaluate church age history, past, present, or future, on the basis of prophecy. You cannot evaluate church age history on the basis of prophecy, because there is none. Instead, 16, we observe the undulations of the zeitgeist and determine whether our client nation is experiencing uptrends or downtrends. Now, how do you analyze that? What is an uptrend? That's where the zeitgeist promotes laws of divine establishment, supports the four divine institutions, and there is a positive viewpoint toward the Word of God among a few in the country. And it is influencing the laws and the decision-making of the others. Do we have that now? Are we in an uptrend? We observe the undulations of the zeitgeist and determine whether our client nation is experiencing uptrends or downtrends. 17. When a majority of believers are enrolled in the Satanic Academy of Cosmic Didactics, then its historical trend is downward. 18. When a majority of believers are enrolled in the Divine Academy of Grace Didactics, then its historical trend is upward. Therefore, 19. As goes the believer, so goes the client nation. As believers advance in the Word of God, the pivot enlarges. But when the advance is stalled and many deviate from the plan, the pivot shrinks. 20. Thus the uptrends of history are the result of maximum production of divine good by the pivot in a client nation. The downtrends of history are the result of the increased production of human good by believers who never make the spiritual advance or who have spun off from the pivot because of reversionism. Now, to appreciate these principles related to historical trends, you must have clarity regarding the terms client nation and pivot. I'll review the last few points as we resume at 10 till the hour, and then we'll take up paragraph D, Client Nation's Pivots and Historical Trends. Prayer meetings will now meet in their assigned places. We will resume our study at about 10 till the hour.